with that, here on this beautiful day, I know that a lot of great things are taking place. The schedule is real busy right now in the season that we're in, not because of Christmas, but just because of ministry, of all the things that are going on. And so I'm excited right now, and Lord is about to do some big things where we're going to step out, you know, in faith as a church, and not just your pastor, but as a church. We're all going to be getting stretched. Amen. And stretching may not feel good, but it's a good thing. Amen. When it comes to growing and maturing in the things of the Lord. I know that Pastor Felipe and Alberto, amen, just got back late last night from the third wave con that took place there in Ontario. Amen. I personally know that it was a very powerful time because I watched all the messages, and powerful end time messages, not by our elders, the multi-regionals or our regionals, but by the gang. Now Pastor Felipe says they're not really wanting to be referred as the gang no more. It's now being called, you know, strong now, going in the called third wave now. Amen. So let's give the Lord a good clap offering. But these were all young men between 30, 35 that were preaching fire, preaching under the anointing, being led of the Spirit. Amen. With the heartbeat of our founder, Pastor Sonny Argazzoni. Amen. It was a real powerful move, not only there within the Coliseum, but all around the world, those that were viewing online. So as I was being ministered to, I felt like I was 20 years old. I was like, man, that was a good message. And the next one, man, that was a real good message. And I kept complimenting the messages that these young men of God, amen, were preaching. I knew that they had all spent time with the Lord in getting these messages. Powerful, powerful, powerful. So instead of me preaching here this morning, I thought it fit, amen, that Pastor Felipe and Alberto would give the word here this day and bring the wave, amen, that was in Southern California from the Ontario, amen, Convention Center, and bring it to us here this day, here those that are here and those that are viewing online here this day. So with that, I'm going to call up, we're going to have Pastor Brother Alberto go first, and then we're going to have Pastor Felipe go next. So help me welcome Brother Alberto Rodriguez.
Amen. Amen. It was such a powerful. But before I get into that, I just want to thank Pastor Charlie and Sister Marlene for this opportunity. This is something that I do not take lightly. And I also just want to thank Pastor Sonny and Sister Julie for doing this great ministry. And I also just want to thank God for my salvation. I mean, I don't know where I would be here. I know I wouldn't be behind this pulpit. I know that much. But I'm just going to open up in prayer real quick. Father God, I just thank you, my God. I ask that you just give me the confidence, my God, to be able to share with the church the experiences that I've experienced during this week, my God. And for that, I give you all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So I'm going to give you a quick recap on what took place during this third wave con. But there was something that I wanted to share first, and that was my experience. And my experience there this day was something that was different. You see, I've gone to other Mighty Men of Valor. I've gone to winter retreats. I've gone to, you know, whatever, you know, regionals and all that. But I always went there with the need. I always went there with, God, give me a breakthrough. But this one was different. This one was, I didn't need a breakthrough. I didn't need, you know, God, take away this, take away that. God, I know I'm falling in this area. God, I know I need you to come through in this area. This one, I was just open and willing to receive the instructions that is coming straight from our founder all the way down. And the thing that I got to witness was Sister Julie. It was the first night of Third Wave Con, and she walked by, and I saw her brokenness, and God ministered to me, and He was like, if you want to stick this out, if you want to be in year after year, season after season, if you want to continue to be used by me, you need to remain broken just like Sister Julie. And that's for everybody here this day. Just because we get a little success under our belts doesn't mean that we don't have to remain broken under the Lord. It's brokenness is the reason why Pastor Charlie and Sister Marlene are still here. It's brokenness. And maybe at one time they were a little broke, but now they're blessed from the best. But it's brokenness. And then we heard something amazing. That there's a new UTC in Amsterdam. Come on now. And me and Pastor Felipe, we went there and we went to the United Weekend. And, you know, I went there. Look, zoom in. I leveled up. And you know what, man? If you only knew. I have to share with Pastor, man, the enemy's looking. He's telling me to look at my finances. I'm like, you know what? No, I'm going to look at what the Lord wants to do with my finances. And there's something that I want to say behind this pulpit. It was the last time we were at the Mighty Men of Valor, and they were talking about that they were going to do the UTC in Amsterdam. And God started to minister into my heart. He started to show me that my little nephew, Ricardo, that he's going to go to UTC Amsterdam. And this is the reason why. He is a young man who got to experience a hurt that a lot of people are experiencing this day and age. There's a lot of young kids that are growing up without their fathers, without their parents, because of the pandemic of heroin overdose, because of the pandemic of gang violence. But God's going to use him in a mighty and powerful way. I told my mom when I came back from that Mighty Man, I said, Mom, we're going to have to say bye to Junior one day. He's not going to be in our house. But we have to prepare him right now. And I know that I'm tough on Junior. I know that I tell him, man, pray. And this is an investment to his future. And what you guys don't know is that he's already invested into United Weekend. When he sees Run for Hope, he's like, I got to give. Today he goes, I'm going to go to UTC South Africa. I said, no, buddy, that was supposed to be for me. But if that's where he wants to go, amen. But I know God put it on me, Amsterdam. I had the opportunity to be security. And I was in the background. I was just serving. Didn't have the walkie-talkie. I felt low. And then I went to the evening session. Because I'm like, man, you know, I'm under Pastor Charlie Reyna, man. We know what time it is. We're Johnny on the spot. And then I went to the evening session, and the brother that was overcharged, he goes, hey, man, you did real good. I'm going to use you at the curtain. I don't know if you guys know what the curtain is, but the curtain is where all the big guns come through. And I got to see them all, and I was humbled. I was broken. I was like, man, God, why me? Why me? And that was the most powerful night. That was the night of Choose Purity. And that was a powerful, powerful night where I got to see young men and young women, high schoolers and new gen, broken before the Lord, claiming that they are going to stay pure before the Lord. That they're not going to allow their friends influencing them that it's okay to be promiscuous. It's okay if you don't want to wait till marriage. But you know what's even more powerful? Because there was some young women that were speaking, and they were talking about how their purity got stolen. And she said that she was able to allow God to forgive that individual and to still not be ashamed of it. And that spoke volume to me. Because there is a lot of people in this world where they didn't have a choice whether or not they could keep their purity or not. And this is what I also received. I received that we have a blueprint. And it's just another page added onto the original blueprint. You see, the pioneers in the Joshua generation, and I don't know if you guys know what I mean by this, because we got some new people here, so you're about to be edumacated. The pioneers are the guys who went under Pastor Sonny. And they said, man, I let's take Los Angeles for Jesus. But then Pastor Sonny said, no, let's take the world for Jesus. And they started to answer the call, and they started to strategically be placed throughout the different places of just America, and eventually to go over into the world. And then we have the Joshua generation. Joshua generation is our very own Pastor Charlie. Where they also answer, come on, let's give honor where honor is due. And he answered the call. He felt the burden. He saw the blueprint. And then comes the new one, the third wave con. Come on, the young adults, the high schoolers, the new gen, the ones that are downstairs right now being poured into by the teachers. And they and you know, one thing I kept hearing from all these phenomenal speakers is that we have to honor our legacy. That our values and principles have not changed. That they're strategically adding to the blueprint. You see, what they want to do, church, is that they want to have a team. They want to have people who are specialists in certain areas. It's not that we're throwing away the old blueprint. It's just that our founder has grown in wisdom and understand that if we want to continue to be the impact ministry that Victory Outreach has been for the last 50 years, where we have over 300 churches in over 35 countries, then we're going to have to come with a little more power behind us. Specialists. When they kept talking about specialists, I had no choice but to look at the God's Anointed Now generation here in Milwaukee. And I started to see that, you know what, man? We're right on track. We got the heartbeat. We got the heartbeat. Even though we're thousands of miles away and all that, we still got the heartbeat. You know, we have you know, Sister Janie on the media, rising up people. We got me on the worship team. I don't know how to play instruments. And if you guys knew me before, I didn't even know how to hit a note. But God ordained that. God anointed that. But I want to encourage the church here this day. I want to encourage the church because, guys, we have an opportunity to be part of this great movement. There was a point Pastor Ryan, our gang overseer. And he said that Pastor Sonny said that we have a 5-year window. And he said, it's amazing how he said window and not a door. Because a window is the type of people that we have. A type of people that know how to break into houses. A type of people that know how to squeeze into places where they shouldn't be squeezing into. Because they know that there's some value behind that window. Heavy. And I was like, yeah, that's right, that's me. Preach it. But there's one thing else that I want to share, and you guys, I need you guys to really take heed to this. This is a base church. Okay? That pledge right there is going to bring so many men and women that are going to be used in a mighty and powerful way. Our pastors also has the same heartbeat as our founders. But there's something that we need to do. There's something that's plugging up our church right now. Can I be transparent on what that is today? It's the lives of Pastor Felipe and Sister Lily. It's their time to get sent out. It's their time to be part of a team. The first couple of days, God kept ministering to me. And he says, you know, son, I need you to rise up. Son, I need you to stick it out. Son, I need you to continue to be in the process. Because he needs to go. And I kept looking, and I said, oh, it's Pastor Felipe. Sometimes Paul would be there, a guy from Chicago. And I said, Paul, get out the way, man. You still got to stay and help your pastor build. This is for Pastor Felipe. Pastor Felipe and Sister Lily have been great examples for this church. They have fruit now. They got Brother Jason in the men's home. They got me with the suit on. You know, there's fruit, and it's time. It's time. The little birdie on the wall said that they're being sent to, can I share this, Pastor? Orlando. Orlando. Maybe you name your next kid Orlando. But there's another thing that they said, and they're talking about creating room on the table. And I just want to share something about room on the table. It's where there's food, there's desserts, and all that good stuff. And you know, when you guys grew up, your parents would say, hey, don't touch that dessert. You got to eat your veggies and this and that before you eat. But how many know that in Victory Outreach, we get to eat pie, a piece of the pie? But do you guys know that this piece of the pie is a humble piece of pie? That came straight from the Lord. I was sitting there and I was like, wow. Thank you, Lord. I get to eat dessert first. You know that's my weakness. He said, yes, but it's humble. I said, oh. It can't even be pecan pie. He goes, no, it's humble pie. I said, amen. I never heard of that flavor before. I wonder if Sarah Lee has heard of that flavor before. I know someone who has, and that's Victory Outreach people. We know what it means to eat humble pie. We know what it means to be corrected. We know what it means to serve and to not look back. And some of you might say, man, I once had my hands on the plow. I once had a seat on that table. And for whatever reason, you might have walked away. But there was something that Pastor Izzy said. He goes, some of you guys have been running for too long. But God's plan is bigger than you trying to run away. And that hit me. Pastor Charlie said, well, what's your speaking? I said, Pastor, look, man, I wasted my 20s. I wasted my 20s bad. But now I got, you know, Pastor, I can't waste my 30s anymore. I can't waste my 40s and my 50s and my 60s. And whatever God, however God's going to have me, I can't waste no more time. And I know sometimes I feel like a bulldozer, especially in the gang. I'm like, man, we got to get a drum set, and we got to get this. And I talked to Elias. I said, Elias, God's going to use you in a mighty and powerful way. You're going to be used everywhere. And I believe that. I believe that, and I know the importance of that because I had leadership. I had leadership that once didn't believe that I should be up here on this praise and worship team. And I knew they lowered my mic. I knew that. I knew it. But I said, all right, Lord. And there was something that Pastor Kiki said. He goes, that he was excited because he saw cookies and water and you know, all this stuff. And he sat with his leaders. And they said, you know, Kiki, we love you, but everybody's not meant to sing. Just focus on the music. And he said that he went back into his room and he said, God, no, man, you showed me that you were gonna equip me. And that hit so heavy because, you know, there was a season where I lived in this church. There was a season where I lived in this room right behind here. And I remember we had some powerful worshipers. Powerful, even musicians. All we had top notch. And they wouldn't like even look my way. But I remember God, man, he put it the first day when I stepped into Victory Outreach, God showed me the praise and worship like no other. And he kept showing me that ministry over and over and over. And I knew then and then, I was like, I'm not even a good shower singer. But I remember being in that room and I would cry. And I would say, God, I know that you gave me this. And I would use the acoustics off the wall to sing. And I said, there's my range. There's my range there. It's not. And I would start doing that. God would start revealed to me. Use what you have. Use what you have. It's not your time right now. It's not your season. Just trust in me. Know that I'm going to raise you up. And now my mic is one of the loudest. It's one of the loudest. And I can't take honor for, I can't say, oh man, that's all me. No, that's all the Lord. But that's one thing that I want to talk about. Be careful who you allow to pour into your life. You see, there's some of us that have big callings upon our lives. Big. And when you talk to somebody who's not at that same capacity as you, okay, they're not going to understand. It's not going to make sense to them. But thank God we have a pastor. See, because one thing I remember a pastor would tell him, no, man, you leave Alberto up there. You leave him up there. No, God showed me. God showed me that, you know, he's, just leave him up there. See, we have a good spiritual father who sees the gifts in us even when we don't see it. We have a spiritual father that when we start having doubt, he's going to tell you, no, son, no, daughter, get up. I see it for you. I see it with you. Get up. We have to hit the ground running, church. Another thing that God put on my heart is we have to evangelize more. I don't know if Pastor Felipe did this on purpose or on accident, but he left the speaker in my trunk. Every time I open my trunk, man, to get water, I'm like, oh, the bullhorn's there. Oh, I got the whole flyers in my... I'm like, why? Why, Pastor? Why would you do that to me? But there's fruit. And I want to let you guys know, like, right away. I got to talk with my pastor and work out the kinks and all that and get the green light. Even though I know he's going to say, amen, let's do it. That's the pastor we have. He's looking for men to rise up. He's looking for women to rise up. He's looking for us to step out in faith. But we're going to go back into that clubbing scene. We're going to go back into Water Street and Third Ward and all that stuff, my old stomping grounds. We're gonna be there. We're going to be there every Friday, and eventually it's going to move to every Saturday. But not this Friday, guys, because we got a Spider-Man movie coming. But you know what? We'll change it to Saturday. We'll change it to Saturday. I got to hit this ground running. I can't let little Spider-Man take me out, you know? No Sinister Six. No. But we have to evangelize. We have to be a mobile church. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. We are the answer to the city. God has called us and appointed us, and he's going to equip us. I was almost going to bust out in a solo, just so you guys could see, like, oh, wow, he really can sing. But my brother KB, he goes, wow, a couple of Sundays, he goes, man, you can sing. I said, like a brother? He goes, yeah. I said, that's right. That's right. I said, I can't even walk like a brother. You know? I got the moves like a brother. Amen? You guys feel encouraged this day? Amen. I'm going to close on a prayer. Father God, we just thank you, my Lord. I ask, my God, that you just continue to move in this church in a mighty and powerful way, my God. I thank you, my Lord, for my pastors. I thank you, my Lord, for this ministry, for this vision, my God. I thank you for your continued grace and mercy upon all of our lives, my God. For you deserve all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' mighty name.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How many are excited here this Sunday morning? Amen. Tomorrow we have the next man up. I challenge you men to be there. That way the Lord can minister to you and just give you the next steps that need to take place within your life. At this time, before Pastor Felipe comes up, we're going to give a short clip of the Third Wave Con overall cap on the whole week that took place. Amen. As you place your focus on the screens and as you turn the lights off, please, if
This is already beginning to have its effects on the entire world. There's a generation out there that taking a nation's got a whole lot more tangible. And my burden for my generation is that they would really take hold of who they are in Christ, and also the body part that God has put them a part of, Victory Outreach International. Not coincidence, it's not by accident, it's by purpose, and it's by destiny. And I want to say something today, that the first wave was a big wave, but the second wave was a bigger wave, but this third wave,
San Fernando.
What's up, everyone? My name is Iselina Acosta. I'm 18 years old, and I'm from the city of Las Vegas.
Hi, my name is Majestic. I'm from Veo, Hawaii.
I came here, and I'm just praying for my brother. You know, he's in the men's home in West Covina, and I just want him to do better.
To see what he's doing inside of the young people's life here at Third Wave Con,
I'm expecting for him to put me on the front line.
God has been moving tremendously in all our sessions. I believe, man, that tonight's gonna be the night to experience your breakthrough and your marching orders.
I'm gonna go to West Coast, and I'm gonna take Hawaii for Jesus.
I'm just getting encouraged from God right now.
I hope you guys are ready, because we're in a state of expansion, and it's only gonna get better.
Make up yourself here tonight and believe that God could do anything He wants to do. There's no limitation.
And Third Wave, I came with the word for you that if we step out, God will break out.
And I believe that the Holy Ghost is still able to change someone's life.
That when they see what's going on in a generation, they walk out to a battlefield. When they walk back into our city, we don't turn a blind eye to what we see, to what we hear.
I don't believe that God wants just to do what He has done before. I don't believe He just wants a repeat of what He's done in the past. I believe that God desires to do something brand new, and He wants to do it through the Third Wave generation. He doesn't want to do what He's done before. He wants to do something fresh. He wants to do something new. He wants to do something bigger. He wants to do something powerful.
Praise the Lord. It was powerful. I think it was one for the history books, this convention that took place there in Ontario. You know, this Third Wave Con was really, really, I know it blessed our founders, Pastor Sonny and Sister Julie. I know they were blessed. I'm sure the eldership were able to see the multi-regionals, the regionals all around the world, that God is doing something fresh. As Brother Alberto said, He's just adding on to what's been working for over 54 years now to finish off in this end time that we're living in right now. And it's a true story. I said, leave Alberto up there. He couldn't sing good. And the truth is, sometimes he thought his mic was being lowered, but it was actually being turned off. Amen. And then one day we'd turn it on and the volume would go up and it would go up. But from the real beginning, even though he wasn't a good singer, I knew he had a good heart. And that's where everything starts at. That's where everything, God's able to grow, you know, from a good heart. I knew he had the good heart. even through his upbringing, all that took, I knew he had a good heart. That's why I knew eventually that good heart would take over, where God would be able to use it. So at this time, Pastor Felipe has been with us now roughly give or take 10 years. Amen. And there's seasons that we go through. Amen. He had a long season in the rehab, running the home for 7.5 years. Amen. And then you come out of a season like that, you know, of a high altitude. Now you're just going and working back and running ministry. But it's different from being there 24/7 with the men. And so it was another shift, another season within his life that comes with highs, comes with lows. But I know that he really, really needed to go. Amen. Especially for what's around the corner. It was real strategic that he went to this third wave con. I mean, we were speaking in the office, and he says, we got to go to a base, Pastor. We got to go to a base, you know, where everything's in operation, where we can see how to do it and when to do it and so forth. So God willing, I didn't say nothing. I was just hearing him because he's talking big. I like when people talk big when they're able to back it up. Sometimes we can talk big without backing it up, you know, but si Dios quiere, like they say in Spanish, amen. And I know the Lord wants it, amen. And I know the Lord wants to do it, that we'll be going to Panama. And Pastor Kike said, not Panama, Panama. That everybody says it wrong. He caught himself slipping in the middle of the message. He says, in Panama, he said it wrong. But that we're probably going to be going out there. I might take a man or two with me and to go experience what the Lord is doing in Panama. Amen. And go out there for a week and see how it's done at that altitude, at that level. Amen. That we would be able to come back to the local church here in VO Milwaukee and be able to implement some things that we learned while we were there. Amen. With no further wasting of any time, Pastor Felipe, as he comes up to share what the Lord put in his heart while he was there at the third wave con.
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. I got a lot to share. I think Alberto cheated. We told each other, we said, hey, you know, Alberto, we said, Pastor gave us 20 minutes a slot. You know, and we said, it's not that much time frame. Let's not put a message together, you know. Let's just kind of share our hearts. And so we were traveling in the planes. We got up early. All the days we're getting up early, the day we were able to sleep in, he made me get up early. We got to the plane, and we were there just spending time. Good time, good fellowship. How many know we all need fellowship? That was a 3-hour layover. And we're supposed to be putting messages together, but we kept saying, we got it. You know, God's done a tremendous, tremendous work. So that's what I want to share right now. God just really did something special in my life. And so back to Brother Berto, he cheated. You know, he said, we're not going to really have notes and messages. We're going to share from our heart. He came up, we had notes. You know, he had notes. He's going to have scriptures. But let's all stand real quick. I want us just to stand. Berto's here. The worship team is here. If the worship team can make their way, we're going to just sing a song. And as we're here, I want us to close our eyes. And I believe that God did something special in my life. I know those watching online, there's some people watching online. I want you to worship with us. There at the conference, one thing that I didn't miss, we never missed worship. And it was at that time, that moment of worship where God was just dealing with me. And God gave me so much, so much, so much, but I don't want to speak words. I want to share my heart. So all over this place, whatever song they have. Alberto said his mic was the loudest. So let's worship Jesus. Come on, let's worship the Lord. Please close your eyes. Right there where you're at, I want to let you know that I'm no one special. I just wanted what God had for my life. It's been years. Just pray with me. Father, we come before you. We love you. We thank you. We give you all the glory and all the honor. I pray, Lord. You know my heart. You know my notes. It's about those that are here. Lord, it's not about me. It's about what you want to do through me. So I pray within this moment, simply help me communicate what you have done because of what you yet want to do in this church. Those that are here, those watching online, those that will come in the future. We pray in advance for those that will walk through the doors. Lord, we pray in advance for those that will walk in, hundreds, Lord, maybe thousands that will walk in receiving of your promise because of the vision you've laid out upon this ministry. Bless right now. Encourage right now. I pray that you be specific, Lord God, for you are able to. We pray this in the name of Jesus. We all say amen. Come on, can we give the Lord a good hand of praise? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Thank you, worship team. You may have your seats. I'm going to share with you as best as I can just what God placed within my heart. Open up your Bibles, Genesis chapter 12. I'm not going to share a message. I want a scripture to share with you to bounce off of. But as Brother Alberto was sharing, God did a tremendous, tremendous work. And my pastor was sharing. He knows me very, very well. Amen. I'm going to do my best not to cry, not to be broken. God just dealt with me so special. But those that know me, you may know me, that may not know me, and watching online, my wife and I, we had the privilege to run the homes for years, for 7 years. And I began to think, you know, and 7 years, but why seven, right? 7 years. It wasn't 5, 6, it wasn't 8, 9, it was 7. So even though Jason could run it maybe a little bit longer, 7 is the number of completion. No, God laid out the foundations. On the seventh day, he rested. It was the day of completion. And the more I looked at this, the more I began to think that he allowed us to go into running the home for a season because God is intentional. How many can say God is intentional? And so he allowed us to go there because when we went through the home, even in the homes, there was a shifting. It wasn't anymore men's homes, it was the victory homes. And even in the victory homes, there was a lot that took place that shifted over into what the Lord wanted to do. And through our founder, how many are grateful for our founders? And so our founder is really in line with the vision. He's in line with the calling of God because he believes in reaching the hurting people of the world. But he believes mainly in reaching the world. How many believe in reaching the world? Was right there. My wife texted me. She said, Alberto's an evangelist. He's got that evangelism spirit, and he might be traveling the world. We don't know. But I believe there's others here. You don't know where you are today, but maybe tomorrow you can be on a plane halfway across the world. Maybe you're the one that we can take with us to Panama to visit one of those third wave base, just to really see what God can do within your life. How many believe that? I need to envision you a little bit. I'm going to step on your toes too because I like doing that. Praise the Lord. But my pastor was sharing. He really knows me, and we were there and we were laboring, and as I saw the shift happen, and then as we were transitioned now into the gang, the third wave, so little chance or coincidence, now even in the third wave, there's a shift happening. And so I'm grateful that I got to be part of both. And even there, many of us, I know we're new here, maybe you're watching online, you don't know about Victory Outreach Milwaukee, Victory Outreach International. And I know as much as I try to preach, I try to mention all these conventions, how many know we're having World Conference right around the corner? Come on, let's get excited. Some of you got to start saving now. Get your plane tickets now. Start booking those reservations right now. But it's at those moments that God does something special. And to me, I've been here for years. I've been laboring. I've been laboring for years. And not be, you know, not in his front line, a lot of things that take place. I know what it is to take a hit. I know what it is to keep moving forward. I know what it is to take hits and smile and keep moving forward. So, Brother Alberto, you don't know it, but I was struggling halfway throughout before. You never even had a clue. I just still opening services, running, preaching. It's just how God developed me, but most of all, how my pastor trained me. And so within that conference, I was able to see the shift, and my pastor said it was vital for me, and it was. It was. I didn't go there grasping for air. I didn't go there really in need, but I know I needed to. The timing was right. And I have just a couple points to share because I knew Brother Alberto was going to cheat. So I put some points down just to have. And let's just read. I want to tie all this in as best as I can and just talk about really what happened. And if anything, I want to share with you my heart. Can I do that? I called one of the, I got connected, man. There's a lot going on. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 3, it says, "The Lord has said to Abram, leave your native country." Somebody say, go. Turn to your neighbor, tell him it's time to go. "Leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you, curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on the earth will be blessed through you." I want to just share this scripture just because this is vital to me. It speaks to me, and I believe God allowed me to walk this scripture. Some know me, some don't know me. I'm from Chicago, the great city of Chicago, the greatest city in the world. Praise the Lord. I got the mic now, so. It's a beautiful city, but God has me here in Milwaukee. So now my heart is here in Milwaukee. How many love Milwaukee? And so within that, I was saved in Chicago, a young man, 22 years old, broken, lost, no purpose, no direction. I know what to do with my life. And I say this again because it's the truth. I had everything. I had good grades. I had 4.0 GPA. While cutting class, I had good jobs. I had money. I had my own place. I could keep all those things, but inside I was hurting. I was lost. There was no purpose. I started asking, what's the point? But I'm just so grateful. Someone invited me to Victory Outreach. That's all it was. It was an invite. That's the importance of inviting, of being invited. So you have homework here today, church. And your homework is to invite somebody. How many think we can do that? How many know that's simple? Can we do that? Amen. Invite somebody. If someone didn't invite me, I wouldn't be here. That's all it was. It was an invite. And it was there. And I'm going to share a lot. I'm going to try my best. But I know God did a great work. I was saved in Victory Outreach in Chicago. And I could have said, Pastor Fernando was there at the time. I know God used him, spoke into my life. God dealt with me. And I knew God was telling me, leave your family. Leave your family. I didn't understand. I was a young convert, 22 years old. I didn't have any discipleship. I didn't have no one over me. I didn't have no one leading me or guiding me. He said, leave your friends. So I could do that one. I know why. And the last one he said is, you leave your own life. You're not in charge of your life anymore. Did the friends. I understood. I did the family, which was hard. But I knew God was going to bring it back. And I know God's been, every once in a while, God would give me a vision. I'll just worship the Lord, whether I want to or not, whether I think I like the song or not. It doesn't matter. I'm worshiping Jesus. Amen. And once in a while, he'll show me my family just worshiping next to me. But that vision won't come to pass if I don't last. So I'm going to talk to some of you. You need to last. It's not about you. It's about those others coming after you. And that's something that God placed in my heart all the way at the end of the convention. I talked to Pastor a lot. This convention was a little bit different. God was speaking to me all throughout. I told Alberto, man, I should have wrote down the notes. But I knew he placed it in my heart, and that's what matters. I knew he placed it in my heart, and that's what matters. We're supposed to have plans, but I'm going to gather a group after service, and we're going to go evangelizing. So that's what we're doing after service. So if you're a leader, you have to go. There's no excuse. And if you don't want to go, you know, I don't know if I could say this, Pastor, get me in trouble, but, you know, I'll strip you of your title. Praise the Lord. Get mad with me. I'm here to build a church. Right? I'm here to build a church. And I'm done playing games. I've never played games, especially not in ministry, but I'm done just waiting. There's no time left in the clock. Even before convention, God was dealing with me. He was showing me there, working with the young people, the young adults, and he was telling me there is no time left. And I heard it over and over. There's not that much time left. I came home. We landed like at midnight, drove. Only reason, Alberto doesn't know this, but we were going to hit the streets last night. But I had to contemplate, I had to debate, and I said, man, there's my family waiting for me, and there's things I've got to do, and I was troubled. She doesn't know this. We're just talking. My mind's racing. And I said, we've got to drive over this way, then we've got to drive all the way back, then by the time I come back, that's what we're doing. After service, that's it. I opened my mouth already. But in that, what God did is reminding me of the timing. And so I want to share something with you of what the Lord did there in convention, especially in the third wave. So let me do a quick recap and then try to get into some points for those of us that know or we may not know. God's doing a special work through the homes, the Victory Homes, and then in our gang. And he's putting the two together. And that's the third wave. It's all of us. It's not just the gang. It's not just the homes, but it's a combination. And the church, you're connected to this too. If I didn't respond to the call, if I never would have said yes, if I never would have left my city, my family, my everything, I wouldn't be here. And I've shared this. I've never shared it over the pulpit. I've shared it to a few, but I could have stayed in Chicago. I could have said, I could have stayed under an elder. An elder took over that church. Elder Pastor Rick was there. I could have said, to this day, I could have said, I came from Elder Pastor Rick, but I don't. I'm in Milwaukee. And this is where God has developed me. Now, I'm grateful for that area. I'm grateful for that process. I thank God that they were there. I thank God. I prayed for them all the time. I really do. But this is where God knew I needed for my life. And why do I say that? You're here because God knows what you need, what He needs for your life. God knows the pastor that is here who's able to shepherd you and take care of you. God knew the pastor that I needed in my life to deal with me, to walk me through my ups and downs. And God knew no one else could do that but pastor. No one. And that's why I'm here. And I think some of you need to hear that. You can forget the pastor that we have. You can forget a shepherd that we have. But moving on, a convention, there was a lot of speakers there, and God is raising up. We didn't see no one, as Pastor was sharing, none of the elders, none of the multi-regionals, none of those that were there, but we saw the third wave. And I was sharing with my wife. We came home, got back home at 1:30 in the morning. I didn't sleep. I didn't. We were talking, we were sharing. And then I was letting her know what God was doing with my life. I was letting her know the plans. I was letting her know what we're doing. And we're talking. And it's 3 in the morning. It's 4 in the morning. And I said, I'll see you later. I'll make some coffee. And I just got into prayer. This is me. I have no sleep right now. I couldn't sleep. I just, you know, I was so alive for what God wanted to do within my life. And there within the convention, they had many speakers. And we were talking about how they were so intentional. So intentional. And this is what I want to share, a couple of my points. What I wanted to title here this morning is things you need to do. Things you need to do. And I can guarantee you, if you do these things, God can move within your life. How many want God to move within your life? If you do these things, God can move within your life. And I'm not even looking at my notes. They're in my heart. And it's just simple. Again, I'm not going to. But the first thing is understand the vision. I believe a lot of us, we don't understand the vision. I don't think we know that we're all over the world. If there wasn't a church in Chicago, I wouldn't be here. If there wasn't a church in Milwaukee, I wouldn't be here. Listen, I thank God that when they mentioned and they said there's a church in Milwaukee, I drove. I seen the flag of Victory Outreach Milwaukee. We were on the south side. I remember the south side building. And I'm so grateful I passed by it and I made up my mind. Story is the same because it never changes. We got married on a Friday, had a honeymoon on Saturday, Sunday, Monday morning. We packed our bags, we left, and we never looked back. I didn't have family here to connect to call. I didn't know people to say, what do I do? I had the calling of God. And that's all I ever wanted to do, but I'm just so grateful of how God impacted me because it was something to me that was special that I needed. That really, God was dealing with me. God, but in this one, God dealt with my heart. And one of the things that God was dealing with me with is, if we kept hearing, how many here, we all hear great messages. How many hear some great messages? You can go on YouTube, you can find a great message. Pastor Easy said, great messages are a dime a dozen. Anybody can preach a great message. But they were speaking about how Pastor Sonny's sharing, and Pastor Sonny's saying, messages can go, you know, a long way. They can last a few weeks, but your example lasts a lifetime. I want my example to last a lifetime. I know our pastor's example has lasted a lifetime. And so my question is, do you understand the vision? Do you, listen, can I share this? I've never missed a regional. There was times when we had regional events, and my wife and I, we had plans to go visit our family, and the regional events took over, and Pastor would say, are you going to make it? Of course I'm going to make it. My plans are out to the side. It's not about what I wanted. It never was. And that's something that God kept dealing with me, because at times, the last Friday message, I was preaching about Peter. And Peter was saying, well, what about him? What about him? We can have that mentality. Can I say, you know, we could look over here and look over there because we're really what we're doing is we're focusing on ourselves. Peter wasn't saying what about him, he was saying what about me, but it was never about us. And the Lord dealt with me and said, get over yourself. It's about others. Until we realize that, until we internalize that, do you realize what it took to send a couple from California into a blizzard city in the middle of a winter to start a church by themselves with a home? They weren't thinking about how comfortable they would be. They weren't thinking about, you know, how much they were going to be taken care of. They were thinking about others. They were thinking about you. They had the vision. The vision can take you where no one else can. I said this once a long time ago. Jesus saved me, but the vision kept me. A lot of us, we struggle because we don't have the vision. We may be saved. We're sanctified, praise God. But do we have the vision? I'm excited just, you know, not just to share, but to go out and work and put my hands to the plow all over again. The second thing we need to understand is understanding your role in the vision. You need to understand your purpose in the vision. So Brother Berber was sharing, and I know some of our points was going to intertwine, but they said there's room at the table. And I thank God that this ministry, this vision, there's room for all of us. Listen, if you're here, it's not for coincidence. It's not just out of luck. It's not out of chance. God has called you. I believe that if you're here, God has a specific plan for your life. I believe that if you're here, you should no longer be struggling with depression, with addiction, with anxiety, with none of those things. I believe in the God that I serve. Do you believe in the God that you serve? Now, how many believe that God is still able to rescue, that God is still able to save, that God is still able to deliver? You're not clapping for me, you're clapping for Jesus. How many believe that God is still able to deliver? How many believe that God is able to save lives? Come on, how many have a need this morning? How many have a desire to see your family saved, to see lost ones? How many have a desire to see this church filled, to see more people reached? We need to understand our role in this vision. I had the opportunity, and my wife mentioned to me how we took Brother Paul from Chicago and Brother Thomas from Jacksonville. We just sent Jacksonville. Now they're sending disciples. But they trust us with their sheep, so to say. They knew I wasn't going to lead them astray. They knew I wasn't going to indoctrinate and say, hey, come over here, do this. And, you know, no. I was just there to be with them, lead them, guide them. They go back off and ready to build. And I was just so grateful because I learned how to be connected. And in this ministry, you have to be connected. I mean, some of us, if we're not even connected with one another, we have trouble being connected with one another. And I can say that. Again, I'll take the rebuke from Pastor. Praise the Lord. We have trouble being connected. It's fellowship after church and we leave. There's things that are going on and we're not even here. We call you, you don't even answer. Listen, I learned how to be connected in the world. I knew where the party was at in the world. The good ones. So I got connected in the Lord. First to my leaders, I remember when I first came here. And that's why, speaking about base churches, and they're so intentional who they use. They use, starting off with Pastor Ryan there in the Third Wave LA, the base church in LA, and he spoke. And then they used Pastor Gay Villa, also there in Third Wave LA, in the base church. They used Pastor Doug Cuevas. I met him when he was Brother Doug. He got licensed, he got sent to Amsterdam, another Third Wave church there in the Netherlands. And they used Pastor Ryan September in Cape Town, South Africa. Listen, all these people are in their 30s. 20s. You talk about what are you doing with your life, man? They're taking the world for Jesus in their 20s. In their 30s. One of them, I think it was Pastor Izzy Vasquez said, Pastor Sonny's entrusting the world to a bunch of 20-year-olds. My God. Pastor Kike Lopez, I had the privilege to meet with him, and Pastor was sharing, we're built a little bit different afterwards. Man, hey, let's go, bro. Let's say what's up to everybody. Talked to Pastor Kike Lopez. I threw myself, hey, man, I might visit you in Panama. He gave me the timing. He said, this is when Pastor Sonny's coming. This is when you should come. Just hit me up. You got it. I'm going to push everything just to be there. I'm not waiting any longer. I want what God has for this ministry. I want what God has for my life, but most of all, I want what God has for Victory Outreach International. Listen, I've been infected by the ministry. I've been infected by the vision. I'm not settling for anything less. I'm not settling for anything. I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to settle. I'm not going to do anything else, but I want what God has for my life. The last thing we need to do is not just understand the vision and understand your purpose in the vision, but I think this is the one that matters. Understanding the timing of the vision. I know I started by sharing that we had an opportunity to run the Victory Homes. Now we're working with a team. It's not me. It's a team to build here in the third wave. But the timing of the vision. The timing of what God has for your life. I remember when we came here, and this was years ago, and even then they were talking about Isaiah 54, 2 and 3, enlarging your tent, spread out to the left and to the right, strengthen your stakes, lengthen your cords, for your you shall dispossess the nations. Your descendants shall dispossess the nations. And that was being talked about years ago. And I was an early convert, a young convert in my salvation. And I remember big churches were talking about buying buildings and moving, but no one could do it. And listen, when I came to Milwaukee and I met my pastor, I didn't know Pastor Charlie at the time. And I met him, we were in the old building, and he said, "Hey, I'm going to take you somewhere." I said, "Hey, you know, I'm from Chicago, just got saved, you know. What can I do?" And he showed me, drove me around, and he drove me to this building. He drove me to the building when they hadn't even purchased it yet. And I remember he had the key, and he opened it up, and he went inside. And I remember thinking, man, you're not supposed to have the key. You're not supposed to be able to open those properties. And he was showing me the inside. I remember thinking, this is the vision. It's coming to pass. And listen, church, it's not just, Pastor Ryan, I think, said, it's not the building, it's what's going to happen inside the building. But you and I ultimately are the building. And they kept sharing and speaking about mega thinking, mega capacity, mega minded, mega moves. Listen, you and I have to become mega minded. Saying this, but I'm tired of ordinary. I'm doing whatever it takes. I'm stepping out. They had me sitting in the front row first couple of times. "Hey, sit with me." I'm like, "I don't know. Sit with me." "Cool." After that, I said, don't invite me. I'm there on my own now. That's it. I got to stretch my capacity. I got to stretch my thinking. Started looking around. I said, who's putting the work that I've been putting in? Who's getting licensed right now? Who's really doing all that? And I'm not doing that to brag. I'm saying that it was the commitment and it was a sacrifice. But I need to stretch my thinking. I need to stretch my capacity. I need to get at that level. I'm not one that always just was comfortable staying where I was at. Listen, whatever you gave me, I wanted everything. You give me this vision, I'm taking everything. But understanding the timing. There's Pastor Kike's message. My God, he was sharing how it was 2 Kings, and it was King David, King Solomon, King Rehoboam. Three kings. The first generation, second generation, third generation. And you read that portion of scripture, you were sharing how in a 5-year window, he blew it. He missed it. He forgot it. He blew it. And listen, church, there's a first generation, a second generation, and this generation. That 5-year window is closing. Timing is getting short. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss it. I've imparted way too much. There's way too much on the line. My children are now going to become PKs. Man, Alberto messed me up one day. I think as Pastor Izzy was preaching. And Pastor Izzy goes, "I grew up in the ministry. I got saved as a young man, 13 years old." He looked at me and goes, "That's mousy." As soon as he said that, you know, why not? That's what my children have to look forward to. Because of this vision. They don't have to look forward to what I did. But this is our inheritance. But the timing has to be right. If we could all stand. I want the worship team to make their way. And I'm just going to close out in prayer. But I just wanted to share just briefly, and there's so much more, but I'm not going to speak anymore. You're going to see what God is going to do through my life. Listen, I'm done sharing. I don't know how we're going to do it, but we're going to hit the streets afterwards. Then afterwards, we're going to go to our house and we're going to have food. How many like food? The last thing is Pastor Sonny was sharing, the leadership was sharing, and they were speaking about show and tell. Don't just say what you're doing, but show what you're doing. Amen. And so here this morning, I'm going to show you what we're going to do. I believe we're going to fill this church. I'm going to raise and challenge to Jason. It's either the Victory Homes or the gang. They're going to blow up this church. We're going to do it together. I just like challenges. But I truly believe that this is our time. And understand this. Don't look at yourself. Don't look at who you are. Please don't do that. Don't look at what you've done. I want you to look at yourself how God sees you. I want you to understand that God placed you in this ministry for a reason. I want you to understand the vision is bigger than you. And all it takes is saying yes, day by day, moment by moment. I believe some of you, you're going to be preaching all over the world. I believe from this church, we could raise up mega leaders. How many believe that? We could raise up leaders that we could send to bases, that we could have at conference. Maybe you're the one that should be singing at a conference one day. You're the one that could be giving a testimony of 5 minutes of fire at a world conference. Because that's what God wants to use. This is a base church. This is a base church. We have to be those mega-minded base people. And all you have to do is say, yeah, all I did was say yes to the calling of God. I never wanted all this. I say that humbly. I say it. I never wanted the pulpit. I never did. God showed it to me. And God dealt with me. But now I want more. Now I want what God has. Come on, if that's you, just lift your hands. Just worship Jesus.